Time to get up and get your day started.
Get up! Get up!
It's Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Good morning, everyone!
Good morning!
Morning!
Good morning!
Good morning!
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM, the first hour of Sports 56 Mornings is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Now, here are your hosts, Greg and Eli.
Yep.
Let's go, sleepyheads. Wake up. Hope you had a great weekend. It is time for another week of Sports 56 Mornings right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, and Jay Hamm with you, broadcasting live and local from the Family Leisure Studios. Summer is just about here. Just go outside. Yesterday, humid as heck. The temperature is going to rise into the mid-90s as the week progresses. It's time to get ready for the summer, and you can at Family Leisure. 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. Right now, it's a comfortable 75. It's going to warm up to about 87 today, mostly cloudy and very humid again. Couple of showers, a heavy thunderstorm is possible, and you could have some flooding with that rain. But again, that is just a possibility, although a high percentage today. Then tomorrow, only about a 25% chance of rain. But the temperatures, as I mentioned, will really warm up. 93 tomorrow, 92 Wednesday, 94 on Thursday. We hope you had a fantastic weekend. Lots to talk about in the world of sports. And, of course, hour one of the program is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery. That's a way to cool off. Stop by the Distillery Bar at 305 South Front Street, where the distillery is in downtown Memphis. Have yourself an award-winning craft spirit, nice cocktail, maybe a local beer. Enjoy the comforts of being indoors as the humidity continues to scorch us here in Memphis. But we are so happy to have Old Dominic as our first hour sponsor, 150 years in the making, starting with the Canale family's arrival in Memphis way back when. But the revival really began in 2017 when the doors opened to the public. This is just a great place. If you haven't been there, you could take a guided tour and tasting. Old Dominic Distillery, come for the spirit, stay for the experience. Cheers to Memphis. On the program today, the NBA Finals switches venues, and it's going to be a zoo in New York City, specifically at the Garden, as the Knicks and the Spurs will play Game 3 tonight, with the Spurs now down 0-2 to the Knicks, who smell blood. President Trump will be on hand. The mayor of New York will be on hand. Like I said, it is going to be a zoo. And Adam Zagorio covers all things New York, lives right there in the city. He'll be joining us at 8:05 to talk about this magical run by the New York Knicks. And also we'll talk some NBA draft with him as well. He covers both college basketball and all things New York for the New York Times and Forbes Sports and NewYork.com. So nice to have Adam back on the program at 8:05. Our only guest scheduled today. We got plenty of college baseball to talk about. The College Baseball World Series nearly complete as far as the participants are concerned. Got a couple of games that were suspended that'll be played today. They'll finish it up. And as long as Alabama takes care of business, they got a big lead right now. They will move on. Same deal with Oklahoma. It looks like it could be five teams from the SEC out of the eight, including the Ole Miss Rebels, who will return. The World Cup will begin later on in the week. The Team USA had a friendly over the weekend. Not a bad performance. We got some college baseball portal news, the debut of the Memphis Hound Dogs, and the Stanley Cup playoffs. Game three was nuts. But right now, it is the Golden Knights of Vegas leading the Carolina Hurricanes 2-1. Also, some history at the Belmont Stakes, a great finish at the PGA Memorial, and Nelly Korda wins once again, this time the U.S. Women's Open, as she is dominating women's golf. All that and much, much more, plus your calls and texts on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255. Good morning.
Good morning.
Quite the weekend.
It was. This is a fun time of year. A lot of championships being decided,
including the UFL. And hats off to Steve Macy and the team from Louisville. What are they? The Kings.
The Kings. Yes.
They have made it to the UFL championship in their first year. They will take on the defending champions, the DC United. Now, that is not the Memphis Showboats.
DC Defenders.
What did I say? United. That's soccer. DC Defenders. This is not the Showboats team. This, they didn't just bring in the moving vans and move the showboats to Louisville, correct?
No, the showboats roster technically actually went to Columbus, I believe.
Who were actually pretty good, too, but did not make the playoffs. But, yeah, good for – and if you don't know who Steve Massey is, of course, he ran the show with the Memphis Showboats, friend of the show, and they got a chance to win it all, so good for them. But tonight, all eyes will be on New York City, and it's going to be absolutely crazy. The question for you two guys is the series over? Eli, I'll start with you.
I mean, generally, you would say yes. I mean, it's you lose the first two games at home. That is very hard to overcome. So, in all likelihood, yes, the series is over. It's just, would a team has won 13 straight games, you wouldn't expect them to go back home and lose two straight. And if you split, you're up 3-1. I can't see them losing then three in a row to end it. So, yeah, I would say the most obvious thing would be, yes, that it is. You're not going to overcome losing the first two games at home.
And if I'm correct, no team in NBA Finals history has fallen down 0-2 losing both at home and come back to win, correct?
Yeah, it's only happened twice. It was the Rockets did it to somebody for their second straight title when they won the two, and then the one of the Bulls titles, they won the first two on the road.
Right, but not in the finals, though.
Yeah, this has not happened in the finals.
Both at home.
Two other times where the team won the two games on the road. It was the Rockets winning their second straight title and the Bulls winning one of their titles. They won the first two on the road.
Right, right. Yeah. As far as winning them, yeah.
Right, but this would be historic if the Spurs can come back. Yeah. Jay Hamm, can the Spurs come back?
They can. I won't say that the series is over yet, but we're we're getting there. You know, it's at that point.
But it could easily be, and maybe some people feel it should be, 2-0 San Antonio.
It could be 2-0 the other way. That's why I said not yet, because it's not like – it's real simple. What the Spurs are not doing – I mean, what the Knicks are not doing right now is beating themselves, and they're allowing the Spurs to be young and beat themselves.
They're also doing a very good job on Victor Wembanyama. Yeah. A much better job, obviously, than Oklahoma City did. Why is it happening in that way, Eli, where they are defending Wemby so well?
Well, I mean, you got to give you obviously they're a good defense, really good defense team. You got to give Cat a lot of credit in that. Now, having said that, Wembanyama went for 29 points, 9 rebounds. It's like he still was pretty darn good.
He's still darn good.
he obviously had the end of the game, was a disaster for him, on Friday night. And again, I think that probably goes back to the being a little bit young. I mean, you just can't make that mistake on the turnover. That's a play that can't happen. But that was Mitch Johnson seems like a coach who doesn't like to call timeouts in those situations. I have no problem with him not calling the timeout. But if you're Wembanyama, you can't throw that pass. Like you have to. I mean, it wasn't like there were 2 seconds left. You just need to calm down a little bit. But again, that goes to a really young team in a situation that they haven't been in, and panic, set in and all hell broke loose.
Look, I've seen that replay a million times, as did all you guys, as did everybody out there. And Castle kept looking at Wembanyama to get a pass. And then once he realized, all right, Wemby's taking it up himself, he turns his head and looks up the court. And naturally, that's what you're going to do. So this was on Wemby. But how unusual is it at any level of basketball to see your center, like normally the point guard would run over and get the ball from the center and take it up himself, right? At every level, almost every single team, even at the NBA level, this is as rare as, a red sky, even though we've seen red skies at times with fires and stuff. But come on, man. This is a rarity.
Only one I've seen do that on a regular, really, is Jokic. He's going to get it and push it and run it and go up the floor that way.
Right.
Not saying that he won't find his guard in certain situations, but he will send them up the floor and let them know, like, I got it, let's run. But I got a stat from Tom Haberstraw from Yahoo Sports. He took 10 defenders from this year, as well as Karl Anthony Towns, who makes the 11th. Among the 10 defenders that guarded Wembanyama, they forced eight combined turnovers against them all year. Against Karl Towns, 9.
Wow.
So Carl is doing a good job as far as just staying low, sliding his feet, just doing basic defensive principle stuff.
Yeah.
Is Towns the MVP right now?
Yes, he is.
He should be, but he won't win it. They're going to give it to Brunson.
They're
going
to give it to Brunson. Unless he just goes nuclear.
Have you guys seen OG's stats?
He's balling.
Ananobi?
I've said it from the start of the series. He's the X factor in this thing because they have no matchup for him.
I mean, every category. I'm not saying he's leading every category, but they're tremendous numbers.
He's efficient, and it's like vital to what they're doing.
But look, in game two, Bridges chips in with 20. Mikal Bridges has been shooting the ball extremely well. I don't know what his percentage is, but I would bet it's high. He's making a good portion of his shots.
I know in that last series, after he went through that slump in Atlanta, he was like at 69%.
Yeah, it really depends. From the second round on, he has been incredibly efficient. He's been unbelievable. They were talking about benching him in that first series, and then has clicked, and he's just been awesome ever since.
Stay professional.
As good as that Spurs starting five is, the Knicks starting five, come on. And we've talked about this before. They've been a disappointment since they've gotten all those guys together, and they haven't been together for years, but they've been a disappointment up until this year, because you look at that starting five, you go, wait a minute. Josh Hart plays defense so well. Bridges, what he adds. Look, the Grizzlies, if the rumors are true, were trying to get Bridges for four first-round picks, whatever the case was, so you know how valuable he is. Ananobi, my gosh, all-around player. Karl Anthony Towns. Up until now, though, people thought maybe Karl Anthony Towns was not living up to the high expectations, even though he's had a brilliant career. And then there's Jalen Brunson. Remember, he was once with the Mavericks, and they gave up on him. And he has become a superstar for the Knicks. That starting five is tremendous. And we talked about this on Friday. Mike Brown letting these guys just play. Let them go out there and play. But I'm with you. While I think it's going to be really, really hard for the Spurs to come back and win and set history, win the whole thing, I wouldn't be surprised if they get back in this series and win a game here in New York. I know it's going to be tough, but they could easily be up 2-0. Again, they had a chance, even with the turnover, and then Brunson makes the free throws, they had a chance, and Wemby had a nice open shot, and he missed it. He just missed it. But I don't think I don't think they're down on themselves where they're disappointed they didn't win, but I don't think they're looking at it like, oh, it's over, as we may be looking at it. I think they're going to play well. I would not be surprised if they win one, but they got to win two. They have to win two to get back in the series. I think they'll win one. I do not believe this will be a sweep. Everybody now is talking about the Knicks as it's going to be a 4-0 sweep. I don't know. Now, if they get clobbered tonight in New York and succumb to the pressures of playing in front of that Madison Square Garden rabbit fan base, which we'll learn more about with Adam Zagoria when he joins us at 8:05, then maybe it's a sweep.
Well, the thing I get, when you get Jalen Brunson to go 7 of 25 from the field on your home floor and you can't win, it's hard to think you're going to go into New York and win two games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the only solace is that, again, they should have won. They made a stupid, boneheaded mistake. And Mitch Johnson, again, like you said, you had no problem with him not calling a timeout. He doesn't usually do that in that situation because he wants them to push it and doesn't want the defense to get set. So I'm not going to jump all over Mitch Johnson for that either, but that was just bad. It was a bad play by Wembanyama.
It's a terrible. I mean, you turn it over and then you compound with that by fouling. Like, you, even with the turnover, if you can just play defense and you can force a missed shot, at least you're getting to overtime. I mean, to then foul immediately and put Brunson at the free throw line to go give them the lead. I mean, it was just it's a horrendous play. And then he got a good look. Like, the last play, which was not hard for him to get a good look. He could look over the top of everybody, so he could always shoot over everybody.
Sure.
But they got him a good look, and he missed that too. Like, the guy is a freak of nature, but the end of that game was a complete disaster for Victor Wembanyama. Those are things you have to learn from as a player, but, I mean, he was terrible in that final 30 seconds.
Is this good for the NBA if the Knicks complete the job and win an NBA title? Is it a good thing?
It is fantastic for the NBA. This is the Knicks we're talking about. You know, they don't get this thing to happen often in the largest market at that. And you see the fandom and pandemonium that they have right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're insane, and they have the right to be.
How
They're also going to be broke if I go to the game.
Like, the ticket
price. Or at least some are. Some others are going to get rich off selling their tickets, but some are going to be broke.
You heard the commish, right? Adam Silver? He says it's the market price. And people are willing to pay those prices are going to be astronomical. That's the way it is. But as far as the Knicks and their salary situation, where are they? Is this a team that if they win it, they're going to have to break it down? Or are they going to be solid with this team for a couple of years?
I have to get back to you on that one. I just look at them right now that they are all in on what they're doing.
Right.
What they're doing. And this is why they made the moves that they made, to go get Mike Brown, get away from Tibbs, make sure that their bench gets deployed. And they kind of made some alterations in terms of how they play. They're using Jalen Brunson not as much in isolation throughout the course of the game. They're saving it for the end, which is giving him those legs that he needs at the end to be able to finish it. His usage is still the same, but it's just not as much high isolation with him.
They also made management changes in the last couple of years as well. So in the front office decision-making.
That's really where they've gotten it done, with Leon Rose.
Leon Rose has done a great job. Mm-hmm. So,
The thing, first of all, salary-wise, they don't care. They'll pay whatever. Like, he ain't going to worry about paying. I don't even care if they probably don't even care if they're a second apron team. I don't care. Like, they've got their team. And Dolan certainly is never going to be worried about how much money he is spending on a team.
Yeah, but they're winning despite Dolan. I mean, Dolan will spend money, but boy, some of the decisions he's made, and he's not a beloved figure, but it's working. It's working. And again, tonight with the president there. Oh, gosh. I just hope to God there's not an incident.
Now, he kind of killed their energy with that, because they're not going to be able to do the watch party and the whole deal because of the Secret Service detail. And it's like, that's kind of some energy that they were going to need for this evening.
But it is, I guess, true that he is a Knicks fan and has been for a long, long time. It's not just the president is showing up at an event
he's a Knicks fan.
He's a Knicks fan. But Stephen A. Smith saying, do not come. Do not come.
I mean, well, they've all seen the results of when he shows up to other teams' games and how that unfolds for those teams after the fact.
Oh, gosh. If they lose the game tonight, oh, my gosh.
I'll say this. If he's there tonight and this thing is back at 2-2 after Wednesday.
Okay, can you guys explain to me who the dude in the mask is that supposedly took a spell off the Knicks and now they want?
That's Dan Howes, and he's a professional wrestler.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, that's Dan Howes. And he's just, that's his gimmick. He does it's a fun style thing where he puts curses on people that he doesn't like. He put a curse on Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. said, get the hell out of here. You know, on the ESPN set one day, it was hilarious, but he's just having a good time. He put a curse on the Cavs. They got swept.
Did he have, so he had put a curse on the Knicks a while ago and then took off the curse and they won 13 straight?
Yes, this is the case.
Gosh. But speaking of that.
He's also talking about putting a curse on Elmo possibly, because Elmo hasn't taken a side. He's like, I hope both teams play well for the Spurs and the Knicks. And it's like, y'all cannot bully Elmo. Come on.
Elmo the puppet?
Yes.
The Muppet?
The Sesame Street guy, right.
Oh, my gosh. So 13 straight playoff wins. I was listening to this coming in about where this, if they finish off the deal, if they sweep and finish with 15 straight playoff wins.
Got to be up there as one of the
okay.
all time.
Okay, so I was listening to whoever it was I was listening to coming in, and they were they said the Shaq, Kobe team,
Lakers. Yep, 15-1. That,
they said that would be one. The Durant when he first joined Golden State
16-1.
With Steph,
yep.
That was second, and he said then you argue them for maybe the third best run of all time.
Yep.
You agree?
I completely agree.
Yeah, the Warriors team won their first 15. And
they won their first 15.
Finally lost one, trying to sort of make it a full sweep.
It took a 50-point first quarter from Cleveland for the Golden State team to lose the 16 in a row.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, sad news from the NBA that came down over the weekend. And look, the rumors, as you expected, are flying with the Grizzlies. But, folks, you got to be careful with who you're following and what you're reading. There's a lot of junk out there. We'll talk about that. 2 weeks from tomorrow will be round one of the NBA draft. Again, round one, hour one
of the show. Each and every day brought to you by the great folks at Old Dominic Distillery, producing Tennessee whiskey, bourbon whiskey, Honeybell Citrus Vodka, and Formula 10 Gin. You can make those award-winning craft spirits with the spirits from Old Dominic. And you can go online to olddominic.com. They list all of their whiskeys and spirits. They list all their signature cocktails and instructions on how you can make them at home using Old Dominic spirits. Visit the distillery bar, especially on Thursdays. Happy hour 4 to 7 with $7 cocktails made with signature spirits. $4 local beers. You can't beat it. Old Dominic Distillery. Just underway on a Monday. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
7:25 is the time. Talking NBA Finals. Coming up at 8:05, Adam Zagoria will join us from New York City. That will be the host site, Madison Square Garden to be exact, of Game 3 tonight between the New York Knicks and the San Antonio Spurs.
The Spurs, where the hell's Keldon Johnson? He was a sixth man of the year, and he's like non-existent right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Like, they're literally the only guy off their bench doing anything is the rookie, is Harper. Other than Harper, I mean, Cornette has been just god-awful when he comes in the game. They can't have Cornette on the floor. And Keldon Johnson has made two shots in two games. Like, he's done literally nothing. The Knicks bench is killing them.
Overmatched. Just simple matching of just overmatched. Probably the lights are probably a little bright for that San Antonio bench, with the exception of Dylan Harper. And even here, there, he's still making a few turnovers that they need to eliminate. Live ball turnovers are killing the Spurs, more so than anything else. Also, they're getting hammered on the glass in certain spots. Not necessarily total, but it's like they'll get killed for a quarter or a good stretch, and it's turning, flipping the momentum around. The veteran is just taking over with the Knicks.
Well, that's why people argue that Fox, even though he's not 100%, should be the guy as opposed to relying on Castle and even Harper, because they're young and they make those youthful mistakes. But I'm just looking at the long-term run of the Spurs, and could you imagine if they had somebody like Hartenstein as opposed to Cornette? I thought Cornette was going to help them when they got him as a free agent, right, from Boston. He played with the Celtics. And I thought when Wemby's out of the game, Cornette's in, they feast. But could you imagine having somebody like Hartenstein in there? Oh, my gosh. If they were able to get him in free agency, and I'm not saying they're going after him, but that team would be the one I look at for the next 10 years as opposed to Oklahoma City. And I still want Oklahoma City. It's not done by any stretch of the imagination. But Cornette, as Eli said, has not given him anything.
And I thought that they probably would have thrown in Biyombo just for the physicality part.
Right.
You know,
right. That's a good point.
That's what I'm wondering.
Except he's so short. Isn't he like 6'7", 6'8"?
Because he just had, with Cornette being as bad as he's been in these first two games, I could see them trying somebody because you got it. I mean, Wembanyama, I do think the end of the game part of it is just tired. Like, I mean, he's playing 40 minutes and they've played all these extra games, everything else. I do think Wembanyama probably is getting tired at the end of the game. So they have to find some minutes with somebody else. And it just, this matchup just has not worked for Cornette at all. So I don't know what they, if maybe they try Biyombo, hell, if it's Kelly Olynyk, like, just give us a few minutes. We're just trying to get the guy, you know, 8-9 minutes of rest in the game. If somebody else do something.
If they can spot him 2-3 minutes at a time in spurts and things like that, that will help. And sometimes you can also have them on the floor together just to kind of offset some of the physicality that the Knicks are going to throw at you, because they're throwing it. Mitchell Robinson is out there to bang. He's doing a great job of with it. Josh Hart is doing everything but worrying about putting the ball in the basket right now.
They're doing everything that you can't get away with during the regular season.
Yeah.
You're getting away with it in the playoffs, and they're letting these guys play. Sad news over the weekend. Stacey King passed away at the age of 59. Stacey King was the player of the year in college basketball in 89 with the Oklahoma Sooners, and then went on to the NBA where he played with Michael and Scottie and was a role player, and they won their first three in a row, 91 to 93, and he was a part of that. So three NBA titles, college basketball player of the year in 89, and a broadcaster on the Bulls TV broadcasts. He was their color commentator for the last 20 years. So certainly some sad news with the passing of Stacey King. A couple of other...
I loved Stacey King. He was
a great player.
When he was in college, I thought, like, and at that time, I was still a Bulls fan. Like, when they got him, I was like, I was so excited because I loved Stacey King in college. And then I was like, oh, he's going to be, I thought he was going to be great in the NBA. It never worked out in the NBA for him. But I was like, I don't know. And I don't even know why I fell in love with him. But when that dude was in college, I absolutely loved Stacey King.
I love that combo with him and Mookie Blaylock. At Oklahoma, they were just dope.
So would you trade in, if you were a player like Stacey King, would you trade in three NBA titles to be a perennial All-Star?
No, I would take the titles.
For that era, I'll take the titles. For this era, the way they're making money.
that's part of the reason why I brought that up. A little different now, because if it's going to be a difference between $50 million a year or... Yeah,
for that era, I'm rolling with the three-peat.
I wonder what year was his highest paying salary. Like, how high did he get it up? If you could look that up. Because, again, he's a role player on a three-time champion when he was there. He wasn't there for the second run.
Again, the draft picks at that time. Now, if you're going to tell me I'll be the sixth overall pick, because that's enough money right there to set you up for... a long time.
Yeah, I brought that up because I know people say it. I know most people would say, I want the chips. Like, shut up. If you can make three times, four times as much money as you actually did, you would trade in those chips for those salaries.
His highest salary was 1.9, and it was after the championship.
1.9.
He was the sixth overall pick of the draft, and that was just over $1 million.
Yeah, 1.3.
Wow.
Yeah.
And don't give me the inflation. People always give me the inflation. Shut up with your inflation.
1989.
Who was the sixth overall pick last year?
Sixth overall. Let's see. Flagg was one. Getting Edgecombe.
Knipple was five, right?
Six was. I can't remember off the top of my head. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Oops.
You had Edgecombe go. You had Flagg was gone. Knipple was gone.
Trey Johnson.
Okay, let's see. Trey Johnson.
Oh, it's going to be astronomical compared to
what is his contract?
Stacey King.
There he is. So his as the sixth overall pick, his contract, he starts at... $8.2 million.
Eight times as much.
Stacey King made $1 million. That's the sixth overall pick of the draft.
Yes. So, yes, you would absolutely trade in those chips to make that kind of coin. Ain't no question about it. But, again, sad news with the passing of Stacey King. Also over the weekend, Ned Jarrett died, the father of Dale Jarrett, longtime NASCAR driver and commentator, not unlike Stacey King. But Ned Jarrett was 92. And then I also heard, I hadn't heard this when it happened, but then I was reading, I was like, well, Peebo Bryson died. The great Peebo Bryson.
Yeah, that was last week.
Yeah, I had no idea, man, from the entertainment world. Great, great voice. Okay, so we're 2 weeks away from the draft, and the Grizzlies are secret agent men. They keep everything as tight-lipped as any team in the league. I remember the old days when they used to send you an email listing all the players they were going to work out that day. That's what the Grizzlies did. Now you don't know who worked out. You have no freaking idea unless the player who worked out's agent says something. You don't know. So we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. However, if you jump onto the World Wide Web, there is rumor after rumor after rumor after rumor. And you have to take it with a grain of salt. You really do, because it all depends on where these rumors are coming from. And a lot of times it's people that have no following. They're not a legitimate agency, news agency. And people lose their mind over, like, Joe Blow throwing something out there. So you have to be very careful in what you're reading. And like I said, don't take it too seriously, because even if there's some reports out there which indicate that Memphis has gotten a lot of phone calls from teams looking to move up, you know, maybe there's some accuracy to that, right? And maybe even somebody finds out through somebody involved with that particular organization that they're doing that, okay, then you have some information. But to say that Memphis is very open on moving down in the draft, I don't know where you're getting that from, because I'm telling you, there's nobody more closed lips than Zach Kleiman and company. That information isn't coming from the Grizzlies. And that's something that an agent isn't going to have, or another team's going to know. So I think it's bogus. I think it's BS that Memphis is, sure they're taking calls, but that Memphis is very open on moving down in the draft. I don't get it. I don't understand why you would do that. So I don't believe it, for one, because it doesn't make sense to me. Number two, there's no way they've gotten that information from the horse's mouth.
Yeah, I mean, generally, first of all, generally on Twitter, stuff is completely made up to begin with.
Right.
I would be beyond shocked if anybody in the top four of this draft traded out of the top four. I don't see that as a possibility at all. I mean, there's a reason all these teams tanked as much as they did. They tried to put themselves in this position. I don't think there's enough out there, because most of these teams, or probably all of these teams at the top four, are looking at this as the opportunity to get the cornerstone of their franchise for the next 10 years.
Right.
Even with a bunch of future picks or whatever, I don't see any of those teams being even thinking about trading down out of this top four.
And sure, there are teams that are out there that probably look at some players that are maybe between 5 and 12 in a different vein. Some may have a guy who right now, if you look at mocks, is picked 10th, and they may have, an organization may have that guy 5. But I don't think any of them have them top 4. And I think that consensus of those four guys, DeBonsa and Wilson and Peterson and Boozer, have been consistent for months now. I don't think that changes. So I think you're absolutely right. If you're looking at one of those, you want it to be in the top four. Everybody in their right mind, all the NBA, I'm not just talking about people out there, Joe Q Public. I'm talking about all the analysts that cover the NBA and that cover college basketball. The breakdown was, you want to get a top four pick. And the Grizzlies got the number 3. Those four guys are in a group of their own. And then after that, we can argue. I think there's going to be some great players that come out of the rest of the draft. And there's no guarantees that the top four are all going to be great. But I don't see anybody that picks in the top four that doesn't pick one of those four guys. The question is still, is it possible that Cam Boozer, again, the player of the year, we know what he brings to the table, the consistency, the maturity, will he go 1 or 2? Because the talk has always been since the draft lottery that the Grizzlies at 3 will be picking between Boozer and Wilson. And that everybody feels, well, everybody, I can't speak for everybody, but most people believe that Boozer would be the pick. Which I certainly believe, if Boozer's on the board at 3, they're picking Boozer. But I'm not 100% sure Boozer's going to be on the board when it's all said and done. Do you take a chance with a little more potential, or do you rather settle for what should be a consistent double-double or close to it type player that you could pencil in right away? So what is Washington doing? What is Utah doing? We know that Washington holds the cards being the number one team or having the number one pick. But we know if DeBonce isn't taken, Utah's taking DeBonce. I would be shocked if that wasn't the case. So does Washington take DeBonce? And if they do, does Utah go Boozer, even though they have a bunch of bigs, or do they go Peterson? Or is it possible that Peterson can end up being the number one overall pick? So I'm not 100% sold that Boozer is going to be there at three. I think he probably will be, but I would not be shocked if he was taking one or two.
Yeah, it wouldn't be shocking by any means. It certainly could happen. It is not the most likely scenario. Most likely is that DeBonce and Peterson go 1-2, and then the Grizzlies have that sitting there with Boozer. But certainly things could change, and who knows? But the guess at this point would be that the top two picks, which has been since before the season started, were going to be DeBonce and Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
And that still probably holds true, that those two will likely be the first two picks of the draft one way or another.
We'll have a number of guests over the next couple of weeks that will break down those top players and other players in the draft, including Adam Zagori, who will join us at 8:05. Matt Babcock will join us later on in the week. So we have a lot of folks in line or online that will join us to give us their thoughts on who the top pick should be and what the options will be for the Grizzlies. Again, the rumors of them trading out, I don't think are legitimate because, again, they're saying that the Grizzlies are definitely doing this when we know that the Grizzlies do not speak their mind. They do not go public with their mind. They do not make any information available to the media, let alone the public, the general public. That's exactly what the DNA is of Zach Kleiman, is keeping it close, and I mean close to the vest. Dwayne is dialed in on the Sissy's Law Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255. Dwayne, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not too much.
Let me ask you guys a question. Tony Matlock.
Mm-hmm.
What happened at Alabama State?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
I hadn't heard. I got in a little bit late. Quick question. Does that affect his job here at the University of Memphis?
It should not. The only way it would affect his job is if all of a sudden, and they've already done the investigation, that they said he was complicit, that he knew something was going on. And again, the investigation is done. So Tony was not brought up. Tony Sr., the assistant coach, his son, of course, was part of it, was not brought up. So I would think it has nothing to do with anything, that he's fine.
So Tony's fine. His son, his career is over for college, right? He's done.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I just want to know if there's going to be any fallback at the University.
No, hey, you're not the only one who's asked me, but I don't believe so because I think the investigation's over.
He's the head guy. That's why.
No, it's a legitimate question, Dwayne. I was going to bring that up in our next segment, but yes, absolutely, it's a legitimate question.
And one more question. Liberty Bowl Stadium. I call it Liberty Bowl. I know Simmons Bank, Liberty Bowl Stadium now. The opposite side of what they're building that. The opposite side, that opposite tier.
Right.
Did they do anything to that? Because that thing was horrible. Are they doing anything to that?
Yes.
What is that, the press box over there?
Yes. Were you up there last year at all?
No, I just looked from one side to the other side, and it looks atrocious.
No. The renovations were done a couple years ago, and they did a really nice job. There are some things that, you know, I don't particularly like, but I think they did a pretty good job. It's not going to be as lavish as the other side. And this year, just this past month or so, they've done some other things to the press box itself because the window.
They got rid of the dumb red window.
The red, yeah.
Thank you. Thank God. That was my next one.
Well, I didn't know you knew that.
Yeah. I've never understood the red windows over there, like why they could have put a little blue paint on them at least. But those are gone.
But they're complete windows, right? Thank you, Dwayne. Appreciate the phone call. But there's not going to be any of the slots, right? Is it just all window?
I don't know what it's going to look like. I just know that red crap's gone.
If they painted the red to blue and it's still I would be upset. I think they just took it out.
They replaced the windows. It's all new windows. Like that red stuff. Again, I've I never understood that. I've always asked that question of why in the hell those windows are painted with red around them.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, well, it goes back to the showboats of 1980. I'm like, okay, but it's 2020. We couldn't buy a can of blue paint between 1985 and now? Like, the showboats have been gone for a while. The red showboats especially. Like, what in the hell? Like, how hard is it to get up there with some blue paint at least and paint the damn thing?
See, I didn't even care about that. I cared that that was there. That I don't even know how to explain it. The slots that were there. Dwayne obviously knows what we're talking about. That's why I asked the question, have you been up there? They've done away with that. I think it's just going to be all window. There's no slots. And whether they're red or whether they're blue, it's just going to be all window. So they've done some things this summer, or we haven't even hit summer, but this past spring here, to make that better. But overall, the work they did 2 years ago, they refurbished that side. And it's good. It's not the greatest press box in the world by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, if you're sitting in the second or the third row in the press box, it's very hard to see the near side. So, but they did a good job in making it nice.
They turned suites into a press box.
They turned suites into a press box.
They knocked some walls down and made it into one.
And then they enhanced the other suites. But it's obviously the other side is what everybody can't wait to see. And it will be complete. It will be ready to go by the time that they play that first home game, which will be week number one, technically. They'll play week zero in Vegas against UNLV. Then they'll come home. They'll play Arkansas State. That will be the ushering in of the new era. Lawn Solutions is a locally owned weed control fertilization company that serves the greater Memphis area. Brandon Holly and his team of professionals can take care of your lawn. All you need to do is go online to lawnsolutionsinc.net or call them at 901-867-5626. Locally owned, family operated. They kill those weeds, get you that green, plush, beautiful lawn. They control the germination of weeds all year long. They can take care of any disease your lawn has, any insect infestation, dandelions, crabgrass, grub worms, moles, and much, much more. They be gone when you go with Lawn Solutions. Lawn Solutions, 901-867-5626 or online at lawnsolutionsinc.net. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everybody. 7:49 is the time. For those who missed it, we'll get to the story that Dwayne alluded to when he called in about Tony Matlock, just in case people missed that over the weekend. It broke on Friday.
Text here on the Grizzlies. One text that says, every mock trade I read is total junk. Are we sure the Grizzlies are going to trade Ja Morant? We're sure the Grizzlies want to trade Ja Morant. And I would say in all likelihood, I feel very confident that they will trade Ja Morant. Yes.
I agree. Again, I think that most of what you read is a cesspool out there. Nobody knows anything from the Grizzlies. They're really good at keeping secrets. I do believe they'll keep their pick. And they'll end up probably with Cam Boozer, but not 100%. And then after that, who knows what's going on with their 16th pick, their 32nd pick. Could they move those? Could they move up? Could they move down? Yeah, that's a possibility. As far as Ja's concerned, yeah, they're trying to deal the guy. They're trying to deal the guy. They're not going to give him away for nothing. But I think there's going to be a team out there that's going to look at it and say, you know what? It's a high salary. His production's down. He's had injuries. He had his other stuff off the court. But we're going to take a roll with him because, you know, he is a showstopper. I still think that he'll end up being traded. Keith wants to talk about Ja. Hey, Keith.
I do want to talk Ja.
Okay.
Well, all right. Here's my question to you. I got two questions. Do you think Ja wants to be traded, number one? And number two, if he's not traded, will he be the backup point guard or will he be the starting point guard?
Okay, we'll talk about it, Keith. Thank you. Two good questions. Okay, now, look, I've heard stuff. I don't know what's true, what's not. It seems like everything he says publicly, he wants to be here. But then I heard that he didn't want to be here. So I don't know what's true.
What I believe is Ja wanted to be here. But he also wants to be somewhere where he is wanted. And he knows he is not wanted here because that has been made clear to him that he is not. So I think at this point he would, I don't think he wants to be here because he knows he's on a team and with people that don't want him.
And then you look at the roster, Dez gone, Jaren Jackson Jr. traded, Brandon Clark has passed away. I mean, these are guys, these are his hombres. These are his amigos. Now, they're gone.
In the unlikely scenario that he is still here, he will be the starting point guard.
Yes. Question number two from Keith.
There is no way he's the backup point guard.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it's...
Now, that's it. That's when he's in uniform.
And again, it's not like the media is going to be eating crow if he's retained and ends up playing. And again, I agree with you 100%. If he's on the team, he's going to start. Because again, this is what basically we've been fed. And people know what the Grizzlies, specifically Zach Kleiman, have said. We know what they tried to do. So it's not we're on a mission to have the Grizzlies trade Ja Morant. No, that's not the case at all. It's just that we're relaying what we're hearing. And it seems like at every corner we get to, it's, they're trading him. They're trading him. They're trading him. So you turn around and he's in camp. And then the talk will be, well, they're going to trade him before the deadline. So that conversation will continue. But, we're just relaying what we're hearing. And this wasn't some effort by the media of Memphis to have Ja Morant traded. But again, it just, all his guys are gone. He doesn't seem to be wanted anymore. He's saying all the right things when he does speak publicly. But I think in the back of his mind, he would like a fresh start. I would think so. So here's the story again that broke Friday afternoon. We were wrapped up with our show. I'll read this directly from the NCAA. Sports betting integrity violations occurred in the Alabama State men's basketball program when former men's basketball student athletes engaged in game manipulation for sports betting reasons. According to an agreement released by a Division I committee on infractions panel, one former student athlete agreed to the violations, but three chose not to participate in the investigation or were unresponsive. All four student athletes are permanently ineligible. The individuals, two of them from Memphis, Amar Knox, did he play at Bartlett?
Mm-hmm.
And Tony Madlock, TJ Madlock, who played at Houston. And then Sean Fulcher and Corey Hines are the other two. Now, Hines ended up transferring to Temple and playing for Temple. And in July 2025, Temple informed the NCAA enforcement staff that Hines, again, who had transferred there, was contacted by the FBI and shown text messages concerning a sports integrity issue when he was a student athlete at Alabama State. Knox reported that he, Fulcher, Hines, and Madlock received a total of $2,000 from the second known bettor for throwing the game against Southern Mississippi. Each student athlete's violations of ethical conduct rules are level one. There's other stuff after this investigation. Madlock, by the way, exhausted eligibility, declined to participate in an interview with the enforcement staff. So, as Dwayne, our listener, called in and asked about Tony Madlock, his father, does it affect him at all? And I've been asked that several times over the weekend. And my response would be no. Because, again, in this conclusion of the investigation of this integrity violation, the conclusion was that those four players are ineligible. Not sure how many had any eligibility left. That was the infractions decision by the NCAA. It does not list Tony Sr. in there at all. Now, some would say, well, maybe he got out of Dodge because he knew something was happening. Why would he go from a head coaching position to an assistant coach's position? Well, I'm certain he gets more money. He's making more money at the University of Memphis. He's back for a second stint with Penny. That's his alma mater. I don't think anybody should look at this and point fingers at Tony Sr. Now, what's weird is that, of course, you're coaching the game and you're putting the players in the game and taking the players out and all that. But you're coaching, and guys are missing shots or whatever it is that they did to throw that game, but not enough to where a coach looked at it and thought anything was going on shady, as opposed to just guys having a bad night. I don't know. I didn't see the game. I don't know the game as far as the particulars, other than it was a game against Southern Miss.
Well, I mean, from and it wouldn't have anything to do with Tony Senior. Like, just in any of these cases, the coach of the team doesn't not like he had any part in playing to set it up or whatever.
Right.
I mean, the part for him that, I mean, when it's your son, you would think your son might come to you and say, "Hey, Dad, these guys are trying to get us to throw the game." Like, but so I mean, that's from just from a father perspective.
I mean, that's a family issue. But
that has to be an extremely disappointing thing that, like, your own son was doing this and, like, you didn't, like, wouldn't give you that word as the coach of the team and his father.
Right, right. And the optics are horrible. I mean, the optics are not good. That here you are with all the integrity that he brings to the table, and Tony does, that unfortunately his son got caught up with this. And now the other thing is people are looking at it probably going, $2,000? You did that for $2,000? And there's the disparity between the haves and the have-nots in big-time Division I sports. This is Division I. This isn't Division III. This is Division I. This is Alabama State, and these guys are doing this for $2,000. And then you have players that are reportedly playing for $5, $6 million at Kentucky. And probably the guys that are deep on the bench are still making a handsome amount of money. We're talking about rev sharing at 20, what's it going up to this year?
$21.3 million.
Not all to basketball, obviously, but dispersed nicely with basketball and football, where scholarship players are making a good amount of money. And these guys are fixing a game for $2,000. These are the type of stories you heard like 30 years ago when nobody was making anything, maybe a little bit under the table for the Stars. But now it's a whole different ballgame. Sad. It's really sad. And I feel bad for Tony.
Yeah, again, I mean, that's like, there's just on the family level alone, beyond anything else. I mean, that is not a good look.
Not at all. What is a good look is Town Village Audubon Park. If you're 55 years or older, looking at the golden years of your life, or maybe a loved one like a parent or a grandparent, think Town Village Audubon Park at 950 Cherry Road, just off Park Avenue in the heart of East Memphis. Senior living in today's world, offering more options to fit your needs more than ever before. They're dedicated to the long-term satisfaction and the quality of life for their residents. You can call them at 901-537-0002 or online. They're at townvillageaudubonpark.com. Independent living, short-term respite stay, monthly options, great event schedule with activities galore. Everything you need to continue to enjoy life to its fullest. Basic services include monthly rental with no buy-in. Apartments include full kitchen, washer, and dryer. All-inclusive resort-style dining with multiple venues. Bi-weekly housekeeping, outpatient therapy. Community amenities. They have a community social area. Has a fitness center, a home theater, indoor pool, whirlpool, 24-hour pantry, beauty salon, library, computer center, 5 landscape courtyards, resident gardening areas, recreational, religious, social, and wellness activities. A dog park, gated parking. They thought of everything at Town Village Audubon Park. Again, give them a call. You can set up a tour, 901-537-0002, or online at townvillageaudubonpark.com. When we come back, Adam Zagoria joins us from New York City. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Let Bryant Dacus and Brett Norsworthy take you home every afternoon. Sports Time on Sports 56. Weekdays from 3 to 6 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.